This is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
This event was planned, and it's like Jesus is saying, we got here. We're here. We're here at the moment of glory. Something that was so planned, something so glorious was planned. But why does Jesus use the word glorify to speak about himself? I mean, glorify me. He said, they're going to kill him. So how does he get glorify me out of this? Here's how. Because what this will do, remember we beheld his glory. What this act will do is it will reveal for certain the depth of God's love for us.
Many people have wondered if Jesus really loves them. Pastor Troy will be explaining that the Bible is clear that no matter what you've done, Jesus does love you. In fact, he promises to both forgive you of every wrong you've done and provide you eternal life if you'll believe in him. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. As a Christian, your past, present, and even future sins are forgiven. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of John chapter 17 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. You know, chapter 17 is an entire chapter devoted to prayer that Jesus prays. Jesus' entire life was marked by prayer. He was always going off to pray. He would get up very early to pray. On one occasion, he prayed all night. He saw great value in prayer, seeking the Father. Well, the setting of this prayer is after he is finished now teaching, instructing his disciples. It's getting very near that time where he's going to go into the garden and then be apprehended and be crucified. And so there's some things on his heart, and that's what we find out in chapter 17. What are these things that are on his heart? Well, the substance of the prayer is basically he prays for three groups. He prays for himself, that the plan of God is fulfilled and finished. That he prays for the disciples who are currently with him, his disciples who he's going to be leaving, that they will be able to, that they'll be okay, that they'll carry on the mission. And then he prays for future followers, those who will believe because of them. Well, today we're covering just the first five verses, which will cover Jesus' prayer concerning himself, the unfolding plan of God. Five times in just five verses, he mentions glory in some form. He came from glory. He reveals the glory and is returning to glory. See, Jesus came and we beheld his glory. John chapter 1 verse 14 says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So let's read our text and see what it is that we beheld. We beheld his glory. Well, what did we behold? Chapter 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. The first thing that we see that is revealed as we beheld his glory is we see the glory of his passion. When we beheld his glory, we beheld the glory of his passion. Look at verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. So what is the hour? What is this hour that's going to reveal glory? Well, it's the hour of the cross. You see, this is an event that had been planned back in Genesis before the earth was. This event was planned, and it's like Jesus is saying, we got here. We're here. We're here at the moment of glory. Something that was so planned, something so glorious was planned. But why does Jesus use the word glorify to speak about himself? I mean, glorify me. He said, they're going to kill him. So how does he get glorify me out of this? Here's how. Because what this will do, remember we beheld his glory. What this act will do is it will reveal for certain the depth of God's love for us. See, it reveals what we beheld was God's passion, and that is his love for you, his love for his people. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Some versions say, while we were still his enemies. In other words, we didn't want to have anything to do with him. He died for us. See, if Jesus had come down and just patted a few kids' heads and said some nice things and said, hey, here's how you do it, kissed a couple of babies, then we would have thought, well, God's just another politician trying to get our favor, but I don't know if he really loves us. I mean, there's some things that he didn't do. We don't know if he would die for us. But see, now we know that he loves us. We know the depth of his love. And not only did he show us that by dying for us, he also lived here for us. See, if all he had to do was die and leave, then he could have just done that. But he also lived. Look at verse 4. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. So there's something about his living here that glorified the Father also. What was that? Well, while he lived here, he revealed God to us. We could see God. We could see his action, his reactions, his responses, his emotions, everything about God. We could know him and understand who he is or what he's like in a way that we can understand it. You remember the disciples said to Jesus one time, show us the Father, and then we'll know. Jesus said, don't you get it? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There is no difference. But let's back up even further than that in his revealing his glory by his great love for us, yes, on the cross, and yes, living and being an example, he revealed his glory. But did you know that even his coming here at all speaks more about his love than we actually give him credit for? Just coming. Now, look at verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. See, he had to come here from a glory that he already enjoyed. It's impossible for us to really grasp this and understand or imagine what it must have been like for him to leave the glories of heaven and come to earth, because we're so proud of this place. And we think this is it. Some of us, we think we're it in it. We're like, you know, I mean, it doesn't get any better than this, right? So if Jesus comes down, we're going to, in San Antonio, Texas, we're going to go, when you're here, you got to go to Six Flags. I mean, we got Six Flags. You got to ride the Iron Rattler. Man, there's a tunnel. And man, it's awesome, man. Jesus is going to love it here. He's going to love this world. He just wish he'd come right now. But you find that Jesus isn't interested in going and riding the ride, paying the big entrance fee. He'd rather help someone out or preach the gospel. You go, oh, that's kind of weird. It's different. He's different. Or, Jesus, you got to try this restaurant. Now, he's the one that he talks about this buffet in heaven. It's so good that our flesh is not allowed to go up there. Our flesh will explode at the goodness. Our five senses cannot handle heaven. And so he confines himself and says, oh, you got something that's really going to knock me off my feet down here in the way of flavor or visual stimulation or anything like that? Not so much. Or marriage. You know, we'll pray to the Lord and we'll go, oh, Lord, hurry up and come, but let me get married first. And then after you're married, oh, but let me have kids first. And then after kids, it's, well, let me get through the sports season. My kids are doing great this year. Let them finish the finals, Lord. Or graduation. Gotta have that. Gotta experience that before we go to heaven, Lord. And so we get a little perplexed when Jesus makes statements like, you know, in heaven, they are neither married nor given in marriage. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? This is good stuff. Isn't this wonderful down here? Well, no. I mean, he came from heaven. The closest illustration that I've heard that would help give us some perspective about what it would mean for him to walk through this earth is, imagine you go out to your outdoor trash can, and approaching it, you already smell something. It's like stench. And you open the top and you see this rotting carcass with this whole world of maggots. This whole world of maggots. Now, do you, a human being, do you want to stick your hand in that at all? Do you just kind of want to grab one of those and play with it and enjoy it? No, we don't want to touch that. We don't even really want to smell it. It's a stench in our nostrils that is not pleasing. So, let's say that you stand there, and you behold this, and you're told, here's the plan. You are going to go in there and you're going to tell them how bad they have it and what they can actually have. I mean, look around. You're a human. You're looking at maggots. You guys don't want what we have. I mean, this is much better than that, but they don't know that. So we're going to send you in there and you're going to witness to them. You're going to be a witness, minister to them. You're going to tell them that their stench has come up as an offense to God, and you're going to tell them that maggots will not inherit the kingdom of heaven.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There, you'll find an archive of previous messages from the verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the books of the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the teachings of this program, and we pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. So the plan is to demonstrate the love of God to them and to redeem them. So you go down there and your job is to show them the way, the truth, and the life and to walk among them. Now here's the problem. Not only are you in there among them, but you are one of them. You're going to be confined to, you're going to be a maggot. Just a little maggot right down in there with them. Now, get this. You're going to teach them there's a better way. They don't see it. They don't get it. But you're going to tell them this. Oh, now you are still going to be your nature. You're not going to be like them exactly. You're going to be a stinkless maggot. They're stinkers. But you're going to be a stinkless maggot. And you're going to be confined to their body, but you're going to be aware of this, of where you came from. And this is going to last. It doesn't seem long in light of eternity, but can you imagine committing yourself to being in there for 33 years? Couldn't we just do it in a moment? 33 years. And guess what? You're going to go and you're going to tell them all about this. You're going to show them things they had never seen. And they're going to turn on you. And they're going to reject you. In fact, get this. You know about all of this out here. They're in the trash heap, just a conglomerate of maggots, thinking they got the best. One's better than the other. Does anyone look better than the other? No, they're maggots. They're just a group. But they're going to They're going to look at you and they're going to mock you. They're going to want to get rid of you. And they're going to think they know more than you. And they're going to torture you and kill you. Now, is anybody in? Anybody want to do that? How much love do you have for that? Can you imagine coming from heaven and all that you've seen there to step into this? Did anything we have really appeal to him? Nothing that we have. Oh, and by the way, does any one of us look better than anyone else to him? No. He knows the heart, but a sinner is a sinner. So, can you sense the longing in Jesus' prayer? Oh, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. The pain of the cross is coming, but that which I'm returning to, Lord, Father, glorify me again. Bring me back. I'm looking forward to that time. Now, he's not looking beyond this because his love brought him here. So he revealed his love. And you know, he came down here. He was born. He was placed in a manger. He was placed in a feeding trough. He lived in a manger. He was placed in a feeding trough because there was no room for him when he came down here. He lived 33 years. And yet we read in John chapter 1, verse 11, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. So we beheld his glory, the glory of his passion, his love for us. Second way we beheld his glory was we beheld the glory of his authority. We saw his authority here on earth. Look at verse 2. As you have given him, that is the Father has given the Son, authority over all flesh. You've given him authority over all flesh. There was clearly something different about Jesus when he was here. Everyone could see it. He spoke with a confidence. He walked around with a confidence. It was like he had authority from beyond this world and knowledge of something beyond this world that we didn't have knowledge of. First, he taught with authority. They would say of him, he doesn't teach like the scribes and the Pharisees, but as one having authority. Not as someone who says, you know, I read this book and this author and this book and this chapter, and so there's my information. I've done my homework and I've got my authorities based upon the information I've given you. No, he spoke like someone who was there, who established it. He also, we saw his authority that he gave with authority. He forgave with authority. He taught with authority. He forgave with authority. He never said, your sins are forgiven you. I hope. I mean, it's on you from here. He never said that. When he said sins were forgiven, he knew they were forgiven. And he illustrated this. One time, the religious leaders were there, crowds were there, and some friends, four friends, brought another friend who was paralyzed in, couldn't get him in the door, so they lower him down before Jesus in the room, and Jesus doesn't say, welcome, you're in here, here's your miracle. No, he says, your sins are forgiven you. That was the most important thing to Jesus, that someone's sins would be forgiven. But the religious leaders were thinking, this is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God? No one can forgive sins but God. And Jesus, it says, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or rise up, take your mat, and walk? His point was, only God can forgive sins. Okay, let's shelf that for a moment. But it is easier for me to just go around saying, you're forgiven, you're forgiven. Hey, you're forgiven, your sins are forgiven. That's easy to do, and no one knows whether they are or not. But in your world, in time and space here, the more challenging thing to do would be to take someone who you know is paralyzed and to say, rise up, take your mat and walk. Now that would be challenging. And so Jesus says, so that you can know that I have the authority to do the greater thing, to forgive the sins, which would make him equal with God. God, who can forgive sins. So that you know that, watch this. And he lifted up, he said, rise, walk, take up your mat. He showed that he had the authority to forgive sin. He also showed that he had authority over the natural world. As you read the Gospels, you see Jesus performing all kinds of miracles. He healed the sick of their infirmities. He raised the dead. He even spoke to a storm. He just said, be still, and it was still. When Jesus did that, his disciples said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? This is no mere man. So he had authority over the natural world. He had authority over the supernatural world. When people were oppressed by demonic forces, Jesus didn't fight with those forces like it's, oh, like it's this arm wrestling match. Like, oh, they almost got me. Oh, but I'm Jesus, so I'm going to win. No, it was nothing. He didn't fight with them. He didn't go off and fast or anything. He just spoke and they left. He commanded, they did. In Luke chapter 4, verse 36, it says, then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word this is, for with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits and they come out. He just speaks it and they obey. Not only that, we beheld his glory because he had authority over his own life. They were going to take his life, but Jesus wanted to make it very clear, they didn't take it from me. I have authority over my life to lay it down, to pick it up. He said in John chapter 10, verse 18, no one, speaking of his life, takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. And this command I have received from my Father. He also had authority in judgment. John 5:22, Jesus said, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Since that's true, it would make sense that we would want to be close to him, be on his side, follow him. Jesus said, it's not going to be about emotions on that day. You know, it's not going to be, he said, I didn't come to judge, but you have that which judges you. My word, which I'm speaking, that will judge you in that day. You've got a decision to make. I didn't come to condemn right now. I came to give the word, which will do the judging. Do you believe? Do you trust? You put your faith in me. And so in the end, there will not be any crying and weeping, thinking that your emotions, because I know some have learned, they grow up, kids will grow up learning to use their crying and their emotions to get their way. And when it comes to that day, standing before the Lord, it will be too late. That will not change anything. Because Jesus said, I didn't come to judge or to condemn at this time. I came to give my word, and my word will do the judging. So in advance, when you're approaching, all the tears, nothing will change what you've already experienced in the way of judgment according to his word. It's too late. There is no purgatory. I mean, that would be too late anyway. I mean, how can we still operate by faith if we die and then we end up in purgatory and we go, oh, this is real. Okay, I'm sorry. I repent. I'm sorry. I didn't know this was real. It's too late. Those who come to faith must do so in this life, while you still have life. And his word will be the judge whether you believe in him or you don't. So we beheld his glory, the glory of his passion, also the glory of his authority. We beheld that. We saw his authority in this world. And third, the glory of his kingdom. Yes, we got to see or taste and still get to see and taste some of that glory even today.
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned some new things today as Pastor Troy taught through the Gospel of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Next time, Pastor Troy will share more from the book of John and express additional examples of how Jesus proved he was unlike any other man that ever lived. Join us then, right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come.